Good morning. It's great to see you. Thank you so much for taking time to join with us. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 6 if you want to turn there. That's not true. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 5 first, but we'll get to chapter 6. While you're turning there, let me just remind you that this Tuesday evening at 8 o'clock, we're together on Zoom to pray together. And on Friday morning, we're meeting here at 9:30 to pray together. If you're able to join us, we'd love to see you there. Romans 5 and verse 20 says, "The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we certainly will be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourselves to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." If it wasn't already obvious by this large tank beside me, we're going to baptize some people this morning. But before we do, I wanted to say some things to you about baptism. Because we're baptizing people, and that seemed appropriate. Baptism doesn't save people. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." You're not saved because you're baptized. You're saved by grace through faith in Jesus. So Acts 16, you'll recall the story of Paul and Silas being in the Philippian jail. Verse 25, it says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake and the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and because he thought the prisoners had escaped..." No, that's not true. "The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, 'Don't harm yourselves. We're all here.' The jail called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, 'Sir, what must I do to be saved?' And they replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds, and immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and all his household." The jailer wants to know what he must do to be saved. And Paul's got a really straightforward answer. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's it. The thief on the cross didn't get baptized, but he went to eternity. And so we're not here baptizing people to get them saved this morning. That's something that's already happened. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward transformation. It's what Romans 6 tells us. That we're dead to sin, but alive in Christ. Colossians 3 and verse 3 says, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." So Colossians 2:12 says, "You've been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." Baptism is a sign of an inward transformation. It's an outward sign of something that's already happened. You are a new creation. When as we baptize you, we're recognizing you are dead to sin this morning and alive in Christ. For Shagun, Nancy, Anna, Jordan, Ethan, that's what we're celebrating this morning. That they have found their Savior, that their lives have been transformed, that the old has gone and the new has come. And we're symbolizing that in baptism. But it's not just symbolism, it's obedience. We're not just doing this because it symbolizes something nice. We're doing this because we believe Jesus told us that's what you do. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The Great Commission is to go make disciples, baptize them, and teach them everything Jesus taught. So we're baptizing people because Jesus commanded it. Jesus himself got baptized, Matthew 3 and verse 13. Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me." Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." So we're going to baptize some people, and we're going to celebrate with them. And I want you to get loud, right? We're celebrating this morning. This is important. We're rejoicing at the goodness of God in people's lives. We're grateful that he has taken hold of them, that he has saved them, that he has redeemed them, that he has made them new. And now they are dead to sin and alive in Christ. And for those of you who are getting baptized, let me say this. Offer yourself to God as an instrument of righteousness. Offer yourself to God as an instrument of righteousness. Give yourself fully and completely to him, and he will do something great with your life. So we're going to sing. Davila's going to arrange that. I'm going to get changed into something more appropriate to get into water with. And then we're going to hear from those who are getting baptized and baptize them. But please, make a fuss of them. Make some noise. Hosanna will show you how. Shall we stand together and sing?